Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, and praise the Lord. We are so delighted to be before you once again on another Blog Talk Radio episode. I am your host, Arthenius Jackson. I'm coming to you live from the great city of Florence, South Carolina, and you are listening to episode number 1605, and we're just so excited that you have tuned in, whether you're listening by phone or if you're listening online. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate you just taking time out of your nightly schedule to tune in, to be encouraged, to be empowered, uplifted, and more than anything, drawn closer to our Lord and Savior. So again, thank you for tuning in. I am Arthenius with One Touch Transformation. So just in case this is your first time listening, you may be wondering, what is One Touch Transformation? Well, I'll tell you a little bit about it, just a little small portion of it. Well, One Touch Transformation is a nonprofit organization for sexual assault, abuse, and prevention. And we talk about, you know, have the simple conversation of letting people know that, hey, it does happen. But we also focus on the healing side of it, too, because there are so many times where we may hear about the educational part, but not enough healing. And we know that in order for healing to take place, in order for people to actually talk about it and know that healing is available and that people can overcome, we have to let them know, you know, testify and show them what God is capable of doing and how he is able to help you overcome. Well, our mission is to educate the community about sexual abuse while encouraging and empowering all victims and survivors. So again, we're out in the community and our mission or our objective is to let people know, like, hey, it is happening, it has been happening, and we need to do something about it. And at the same time, we want to, again, encourage and empower all victims and survivors and let them know that, hey, you're not alone. It is okay to talk about it. It is okay to get help. It is okay to seek help. It is okay to feel those feelings because, you know, those feelings and those emotions, they are valid because, hey, it did happen. We recognize the fact that it did happen even when no one else may not want to, when family may not want to, when close friends may not want to, but we recognize the fact that it did happen and it did hurt and it still hurts, you know. For some people, they are still dealing with the pain of the past. But we also want victims and survivors to know that healing is available, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and you too can experience freedom. And I can say all of this because I was a victim of childhood sexual abuse. And that's what simply made me start the nonprofit. After I sought help, after I went to counseling, after I went through my group therapies and all that good stuff, I knew that there was more that I wanted to do, and that was to help others. I wanted to be a bridge, to simply be a bridge to help others overcome and to find their voice and to find healing and to have true freedom and experience it because God tells us in his word that I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And it's impossible, nearly impossible to live a life of abundance whenever you feel trapped or captive from the pain of your past and any traumatic experiences. It's hard to live a life of freedom, a life of abundance. The enemy wants us to remain in that state of the past. He wants to remain, you know, tormented. He wants us to remain broken. But God does not want us to stay there. Yes, he understands and he knows how you feel, and he does recognize what you feel. But he also wants you to overcome. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be set free. And that has been one of my, you know, biggest missions, one of my desires to see others, both men and women, to experience true freedom. I don't want people to feel like just because you experience those traumatic events, just because that the pain of it still has you, you know, has a hold on it, I don't want you to think or to believe, such as the enemy does, that you are a product of your past or you have to allow your past or the pain or the trauma to dictate who you are or who God has called you to be. You know, God, he's amazing. He's wonderful and so strategic. And so although these things happen to us, although we experience pain, although we experience the pain of the past, although we experience trauma, in the end, God still, he still has a plan for us. He still has a plan, no matter what. We may not understand it. We may not see it right then, but God still has a plan for us. And sometimes it takes us a little while to figure it out and to, you know, get on the same page with God. Because a lot of times we're so caught up in our feelings, we're caught up in our pain, we're caught up in our emotions, and feel like we're on this road by ourselves, but we're not. God is still with us, even though we may feel like he's left us, but guess what? God has never left us. He tells us that I will never leave you, neither forsake you. So he has never left us. When we feel or when we've ever felt like God has left us, it's when we kind of, you know, give him the drawback. We kind of draw back from him. But you know what? God is still there and he still loves you. No matter if we do draw back from him, no matter if we kick him to the curb, no matter if we shortchange him, you know what? God is still there because he said, I'll never leave you. Neither will I forsake you. And he said, I'll be with you always, even to the very end. So again, he'll never walk out on you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you hanging. But we do it to ourselves, if we're honest. If we're being honest, we do it to ourselves. We shortchange him. We walk away because we can't, you know, can't sense him or can't feel him anymore. So we feel like he's left. So if he's left me, then why should I devote my time, my life to him? Because I feel like he's not there. And sometimes we may get angry. We may get upset, you know, with God because we feel like he's left us. But in actuality, he's still there. Still there, and there are some things that we just have to go through and work through it, you know, the entire process in order for us to, you know, get that connection back with him. And it's okay because you know what? As long as there's life, there's still hope. So as long as you still have breath in your body, while the blood is still running warm in your veins, as the song says, you still have a chance to make a, you know, to have a reconnection with God, to reconnect with him, to, you know, get that relationship back. Restore the relationship because God, he's right there waiting. He is. And, you know, with One Touch Transformation, I'm grateful for what the organization has been able to do within the past 8 years. We started in 2014 and just being able to talk with different survivors to spread, you know, the healing part of it. That's been the most amazing part to me. To being able to demonstrate how God can heal and help you overcome. That has been an amazing experience. And so even with this month, which is being recognized as Sexual Assault Awareness Month, a couple of weeks ago, I talked a little bit about how we all can help victims and survivors. Even if you have not experienced it, you still can play a role in it. You still can play a part. There are many resources that are available for both survivors or supporters. So even if you're wanting to support, there is a way for you to support. And you can simply just show up. More than anything, just show up. Be a listening ear. Just be there. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything. A lot of times you don't have to say anything. We just want you to show up. We just want you to show that you care. And so there are many resources that are available, you know, online. We have the Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network, known as RAINN, so R-A-I-N-N. So if you go to RAINN.org, you will find just about everything that you need. And as far as resources, questions, statistics, you'll even find, you know, resources that may be located in your area, such as Rape Crisis Centers. They'll let you know which one is nearby. All you have to do is send in your zip code, and it will bring up the closest rape crisis center. For those who may need to talk to someone, there is a chat line that is available, and you can either call or you can chat online because everyone is not ready to actually verbally talk. So for those who are not comfortable or who are not ready to talk, you can chat with someone. In both lines, the phone and the chat line are available 24/7. So please share the information. You can share it on your timeline. You can share it through text messages. You know, just, hey, just pass the information along. Just do your part by just sharing the information, being to help, showing that you support victims and survivors. And so, like I said, if you need just any additional information on how you can help, how you can support, everything can be found on RAINN.org. So that's RAINN.org, RAINN.org. And so, again, this is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So you may see different ones that are posting different things about, you know, just making people aware. And, again, another way that you can help and support is by just resharing the information. When you see something pop up on your timeline that's focusing on Sexual Assault Awareness Month, hey, feel free to share it. It doesn't cost anything, and you might be helping someone. Like, you never know who in your timeline needs help or needs the right resources so that they can get help. So, again, do your part. Just do your part. Show that you care. Show that you don't mind supporting. And, again, just, you know, show up. Show up. All right, so I've given you a little bit of information about One Touch Transformation, who we are, what we do, and again, I'm grateful for Purpose Kingdom Network that allows us to actually talk about sexual abuse, because there aren't many platforms that open the door, especially when we're talking about faith-based platforms. There are not many that open the doors to this conversation because we know that it is taboo, which it shouldn't be, but it is. It has been, and it probably will continue to be. But we're grateful for this particular platform that allows us to talk about it. And, you know, in numerous topics that kind of can tie in and help encourage those who may have had some hard times and some bad experiences of the past. And even if you've never experienced sexual abuse, I feel like we all can say, we all can witness or testify that we've all been through something that has, you know, really tested us, something that has maybe even questioned your spiritual life or made you feel weak or made you feel lesser than a person. We've all have gone through trials. We've all gone through hard times. We've all have experienced moments or times where we have, you know, questioned who we are, who God has created us to be, and just wonder, hey, am I really strong enough to take on these things? Like, God, are you sure you meant to give me this? You know how it is sometimes when you, it makes you scratch your head, like, are you sure this is for me? And so a lot of times we go through, you know, that word change, which is what we're going to focus on tonight, the word change. We go through changes. A lot of things change in our life. A lot of, you know, we're going to focus on that. But what I want you to really take away tonight is, like, I don't want you to fear change. Don't fear change. A lot of times when we hear the word change in conversation, whether we're, you know, at home with a family meeting or on the job in a meeting or even just amongst our circle, when we hear the word change, sometimes we may tense up, like, oh my goodness, not ready for this. Right off the top, mentally, we're not ready. We're not ready when we hear the word change. So we've got to figure out how we can change our perspective and how we can mentally or psychologically trick our mind into not fearing when we hear about change or when we know that change is on the way. That's going to make us feel a little uncomfortable, because that's what change does. Change can be scary, uncomfortable, stressful, and because of the way or because of our of changes when they occur, it makes us think the worst of things, and we become so pessimistic about the word change. So one of the things that I kind of took on when I started One Touch Transformation was the insect of the butterfly, because of the changes that it goes through before it becomes a butterfly. So a caterpillar, it does not remain a caterpillar its entire life, you know, unless it doesn't survive to go through the stages. But when we're talking about changes, when we're talking about the metamorphosis that a caterpillar experiences, we can use that same concept for our life. We're not to remain the same person forever. We shouldn't be. We're not a child forever. as long as, you know, you're alive, you're going to go through changes. From the time that you're born until the day that you die, you will experience change. If you don't, then something's wrong, both mentally and physically, and hopefully spiritually as well. We should forever evolve. We should forever change, and change for the better. Now, not all changes, they may not be good in the moment. They may not, you know, it may not be good changes, but for the most part, when we're talking about when change happens, have to learn how to change our perspective so that we're looking at the word change and looking at, okay, what can I pull from it? How can I grow from it? How can I, you know, change both mentally, psychologically, and spiritually? So we have to change our perspective when we're talking about change going on in our lives. So again, change can be uncomfortable, can be scary, it can be stressful. So those times when we experience those feelings are most of the time at work. We experience that type of change at work when we're feeling a little scared, a little fearful, what's going on? These changes that are happening, what is this? Because when it first hits you, like it really hits you, you're like, oh, what is this? I'm not used to this. This is not part of the routine, so why are y'all interrupting my routine and changing it? So we experience this type of change when we're at work. Think about when there's a change in management, when there's a change with the computer system. All of a sudden, we've been using this same computer system for the past 5, 10, 15 years, and now all of a sudden you want to change the computer system? Why? Why are you doing this to me? Think about whenever you're placed on a new team. And I'm still talking about at work. You may have this dynamic team going. You've been a part of the same team for the past month, couple of years, and now all of a sudden they want to make changes to the team just because they want to, like, what is this? Why, again, are you interrupting what I have going on? Why are you interrupting our routine? And then, again, another change that we may experience at work when the company is bought out from someone else and now is under a new company. Oof. Talk about the multiple changes that will occur when a new company takes over. Has everyone going crazy. Everyone up in just in an uproar because no one wants to change. No one wants to, you know, mess up what, or feel like it's being messed up what they got going on. And it feels like that because you're comfortable. We're comfortable how things are running, and we feel like it's going so smooth. It's going so smooth, and then all of a sudden, it's going to stick in the wheel. It's like, why did you have to do it? If it ain't broke, don't try to fix it, you know? But sometimes change still happens. It still happens when things are going well. Most definitely when things are not going so well. What about when things are going well and then still an interruption? Like, why? And sometimes it's hard for us to understand that. It's like, why do you want to mess up something that is already, you know, going well? Why do you want to interrupt this routine? And like I said, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. Let's just keep working with what we have. Keep working with what we have and keep it going. Keep going with the flow. That's all. Keep going with the flow. So when we're talking about changes, that may not seem like that are not needed, you know. Again, when you feel like you have a good flow going, good routine going, and all of a sudden change happens, the first thing that comes to mind is like, why? Like, why are we changing this? I feel like it's not needed. And sometimes we may wonder, you know, when God does things like that, when he steps in, it's like, God, I had everything going for myself. Everything seemed to be going well. And then all of a sudden, God wants to tweak a few things and change it up. And it's like, but why? And so then we start feeling uncomfortable. We start whining, like, why? almost like a child. Sometimes we do act like children, you know, adults or sometimes just big kids. But we act like children, like, why, God? Like, why did you have to come in and just interrupt what I had going? Why? And sometimes it doesn't make sense at, you know, at the time, and we may not understand it at the time. We don't realize what God is really trying to do. But all we see is change. We don't see the bigger picture. You know, God, he sees the bigger picture, especially when we don't. I mean, he sees way beyond what we can, you know, imagine or think. And so, of course, when God intervenes, or when he begins tweaking things and, you know, lets us know, like, hey, I'm about to disrupt her life and make some changes, like, really? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to respond to this? How am I supposed to, but at the same time, God is still like, trust me, I got you. You may not understand it. You don't see it right now, but I got you. Just trust me. And sometimes that's one of the hardest things to do because we don't see the bigger picture. But that's why our faith has to step in. Like, we just have to rely solely on God because our plans are not his plans. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. Like, he everything that he sees is totally different than what we see. What we have written down, what we plan, it doesn't even compare to what God has planned for us. He tells us he knows the thoughts that he has towards us. You know, he knows our plans. Like, he already knows what he has lined up for us. And so when we don't see it, when we're not lined up with his will or lined up with his plan, then of course it's going to be hard to trust him. It's like, you want me to do what? You want me to go where? You want me to say what? You want me to stay how long? You want me to move to where? You sure about that? And the audacity for us to question that. Like, are you sure about that? You sure this is what you want for me? You sure you want me to go over there? You sure about that? But, again, we don't see it in the moment or at the moment. We don't see it. We don't understand it. So we begin to question it. And so that's when it becomes uncomfortable. It becomes scary. It becomes stressful when all we have to do is just trust God. You know, I said, just trust me. We can't lean on our own understanding, which is why we have to trust him with our heart, our mind, our soul. Like, trust him with everything so we won't be stressed, so we won't be uncomfortable, and so we won't be so worked up and you know, and feeling uncomfortable and scared. Now, we are human. I understand that. We are human, so we are going to experience some of those human emotionals because we know that we're living in this flesh, but as long as we trust God, we can stress less, and we can be less scary and less uncomfortable, or a little more comfortable, I should say. All right, so moving right along, sometimes when God allows change to happen in our lives, you know, especially for the better, sometimes he'll direct us to change jobs. He'll direct us to change the scenery, so change location, change friends, change patterns, and change habits. So sometimes he allows us to change those different things, jobs, sceneries, locations, friends, patterns, and habits. And even those things on the list can be a little difficult to, you know, let go or change up because you're so used, again, so comfortable and so used to where you are, what you have, what you're doing, how you're doing it, that whenever it's disrupted, it's kind of hard to change, let it go, do it differently. Well, I've always done it this way, but God is like, I don't want you to do it like that anymore. But I've always talked to them, well, I don't want you to talk to them anymore, like, not, you know, not like that. I don't want them in your circle anymore. Well, I've always said, I don't want you to do it it's bad for you. Especially when I'm talking about these bad habits. Stop doing it. But God, I've always done it. And break the cycle. Stop it. I'm trying to help you. I have better for you. Trust me when I tell you to stop. Trust me when I tell you to change it. Trust me when I tell you to stay. Trust me when I tell you to go. Trust me when I tell you to change your circle. Like all of you say, you have to trust God through the change so you're not fearing change. And the reason why we fear change is because we fear the unknown. We're not used to it. We don't know it. We don't know what to expect. And some of the things that we don't know to expect, those are the things that we fear. And so therefore we begin to fear change. So we have to really trust God, like for real, not just for show. Don't say it just for show, like, oh, I trust God. But no, for real, trust God. What type of your relationship will determine how much you trust God. Because the more you spend time with him, the more you talk with him, the more you pray with him, the more you study his word, the more you will trust him. Because you've established that relationship. You spent some time with him. Because in order to trust, you know, other humans, it's built with time spent with them. Like, I'm not going to trust a complete stranger. Why? Because I don't know him or her. But if I know you, and on a certain level, if we're spending time with each other, we're talking all the time, then I can trust you. I can trust you with my secrets. I can trust you. I can confide in you. Because why? We've built a relationship. We've established it from the beginning, and we've continued to build upon it. And it's the same way with God. So I can trust God because I have a relationship with him. And so whatever he tells me to do or not do, whenever he tells me to change something or tell me to do it a different way, then I can trust him because I know he has my best interest. The people that we trust them because we know they have our best interest. Okay? All right, so change itself is going to happen on its own, whether we accept it or not, whether we want to believe it or not, whether we want to change with it or not. So change, it's going to happen on its own. It's nothing that we can do. Like sometimes we cannot stop change. We cannot stop our body from changing. We can't stop our body from aging. There are certain things that is inevitable, and change is one of them. Our bodies will constantly change. Our life will constantly change. People will constantly change. Like it's something that's ongoing until you die. We go from a baby to a toddler to a child to an adolescent to a teen to an adult to, you know, so we're constantly changing. We don't want to stay the same person forever, like mentally, especially not mentally, psychologically, you know, physically, spiritually. You do not want to stay, you don't want to stay the exact same. So we understand that change is inevitable. Change will happen on its own, but it's all about accepting and adapting, adjusting, you know, those A words, accepting, adapting, adjusting. It's all about how you take on this change. Now, some people, whenever they realize that change is going on, then they are more so against it, or they may become bitter, or they're just not able to accept it. They're not able to take on what is happening during the change. So change itself, it happens on its own, but it's all about, again, accepting, adapting, adjusting, all three of those things. And you might say, I don't want to accept it. But sometimes, you know, you have no choice but to accept it. Now the whole adapting and adjusting to it, you're on your own. You're on your own, and if you need a little more strength and you need some more encouragement from God, go pray to him and ask for him to accept. And we have to, that's a big thing, to accept what God allows. Because God will call some things to happen to us, through us, around us. And just to be honest, it's difficult to accept. It is difficult to accept the things that he allows, but what other choice do we have? What other choice do we have? If we trust him, like truly trust him, then we have to accept what he allows. We have to accept these changes. And not all change feels good. It's scary. It's uncomfortable. It's stressful. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it might make you cry. It might make you upset. But we have to learn to accept, adjust, and adapt. We have to. And through trusting God, we're able to do that. So as long as we're able to trust God, then we're able to accept, adapt, and adjust. Now, there are three particular people that I would like to talk about really quickly. And let us know that, you know, God did some changing in their lives. To them, through them, around them, you know, everything. He just made some, you know, complete changes in their lives. Some of them opposite of what they were living or what they were doing. Some of them was to help them grow. And that's another thing with change. Change will, it teaches us, it helps us learn who we are and learn about things around us. It helps us grow. So change is important and sometimes very much needed, very much needed, especially when it's teaching us, you know, about ourselves, teaching us how to grow, teaching us to learn new things. And not just around us, but learn new things about ourselves. Because it's not until we go through changes that we learn so much about ourselves, whether we're learning how strong we really are or learning what we are really capable of doing or becoming. So change is very much needed. And so first, I want to talk about a couple, a very phenomenal and popular couple in the Bible, and that's none other than Abraham and Sarah. To Abraham and Sarah. So just in case you did not know, Abraham and Sarah were not always called Abraham and Sarah. They had a different name before we knew them as Abraham and Sarah. They were actually known as Abram and Sarai. And so we'll find that in Genesis chapter 17 and starting with verses 5, and we're going to read through 8. And so this is Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. I'm going to go through 8. And this is going to let us know about Abraham, how he once was called Abram. All right, so again, Genesis chapter 17 and starting at verse 5. So it says, "No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." So here we see a name change from Abram to Abraham. And so with this change, he let him know, like, look, you're going to be the father of so many nations. You're going to be fruitful because of this change. So, and of course, it was more than just a name change, but it was a spiritual change. God changed his life completely, and he changed it so he could work through him and work, you know, generations to come. So not only was this change for Abraham, but this change was for generations to come. It was for his descendants, just so that they will know who God is. And so this change was very important and very much needed because God knew that these people were going to need, you know, someone to show them who God was and show them, you know, what God did as we read it in Exodus, the things that he did for the Israelites. So he knew way back in Genesis when he made this covenant with Abraham, like, look, your name is going to be great. Your name is going to be carried on from generation to generation. And not only is your name is going to be great and it's going to be carried on, but I'm going to work through your name, work through your descendants so that they know who I was or who I am, so they know the power that I have. And so we hear and read about Abraham, how his name changed from Abram to Abraham. All right, so next, if we go down to the 15th verse, we'll see Sarah, who was once called Sarai. 15th verse said, God also said to Abraham, as far as Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. So again, this whole name change changed her life completely. Because remember, Sarai wasn't able to have any children. But with this name change, she said, look, I'm going to bless Sarah. She's going to be able to have children. She's going to be the mother of nations. So, like, you mean to tell me I'm going to be the mother of nations, but just a while ago I was barren? So God made a complete change again, more than just a name change, but he changed their future. So sometimes God, thank you, Lord, God will send a change in our life that will change our future. We don't even know what lies ahead, but when God makes that change, he changes your future. The future we thought we had can't even compare to the future what God is about to give us, all because he changed us. We got to keep going. We got to keep going because I got a couple more that I want to get. Let's go to Genesis. We're still in Genesis. We're going to go to chapter 32. We're going to read about another change that took place. So Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to start at verse 9. And we're talking about this name change again. Jacob to Israel. Jacob to Israel. So Genesis 32. I'm sorry, yeah. Genesis 32 and 28. So the 28th verse, it says, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. So I'm giving you a new name because you have overcome. So your name is Overcomer. Ha ha. How many overcomers do we have today? God has changed your life. You're no longer your past. You're not known by your past. You're not known by your problems. You're not known by your struggles. But you are now known as an overcomer. And that's what he did for Jacob. It's like you're no longer Jacob, but Israel. And you are an overcomer. And then if we go to the 35th verse, still talking about Jacob being changed to Israel. So if we go to Genesis and chapter 35 and start at verse 9, it says, after Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. There he is. Again, tell him to be fruitful. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you. And look there. The way that God changed the future of Abraham and Sarah, and we know that Israel is a descendant of Abraham. So we have Abraham who begat Isaac and Isaac who begat Jacob. And look at how the future was changed. So that's what I'm talking about, like, the changes that God brings in our life, it changes our future, and that's why we don't have to fear change. Just trust God. He knows what he's doing. He is trying to change our future, because sometimes what we're doing, that ain't it. It's like, God's like, that ain't it. Let me send this change. Let me disrupt your plans for a moment, so that I can just blow your mind. Let me just blow your mind. So in order for me to blow your mind,
I've got to disrupt what you got going on. I've got to help you change up your routine. Just let me intervene, okay? Trust me. Again, trust me. And last but not least, we're going to go to the book of Acts. So we had our Old Testament changes, and now we're going to go to our New Testament change, which is in the book of Acts. And we're going to go to chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we're going to start at verse 1. So this is Saul being changed to Paul. This was a complete change. He was converted. So this is known as Saul's conversion. So he had a name change. He had a spiritual change. I mean, the whole 180. So it says, meanwhile, starting the first verse, Acts 9 and 1, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. First of all, I have to put a point right here. When I was reading this, I'm like, okay, so Saul is going around persecuting these Christians and wanting to send them to prison. So, you know, he's persecuting, he's against God, and then all of a sudden he hears a voice, and he's like, who are you, Lord? Like, you know who this is. I'm pretty sure Paul knew it, or Saul at the time knew exactly who that voice belonged to, but, you know how we do. It's like, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered in, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. So here we see a complete change. So first of all, God interrupted Ananias' routine because as far as Ananias knew, he was not going anywhere near Saul. Because he had already heard about Saul. He knew how he was persecuting the Christians, how he was throwing them in prison. And you want me to go do what? Go talk to who? Go where? Go where? Do what? Talk to who? Yes, Ananias. Trust me. And he's like, well, all right. There he went. And then we see this complete change in Saul. He's blinded. And then once he gets up, he is converted. He is baptized. Now, you're talking about a change. And so it's not until Acts chapter 13 and verse 9 where he is first called Paul. And if we go to, Acts 13 and verse 9, and it says, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. So that whole change, that whole conversion that happened with Saul allowed him to become Paul and to become filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we read about the works of Paul, his future was changed dramatically, and he was able to become a disciple of God. even when he did not, he may not have thought he trusted God, but when God knocked him down, I bet he trusted him then. When God blinded him, I bet he trusted him then. But God had to get his attention. And so sometimes when God starts making changes in our life, he has to get our attention. Now hopefully he won't have to make any of us blind to get our attention. Hopefully we just trust him, you know, right then, right there. But just in case, he might have to get our attention. So change. It's not comfortable. It's scary. It's stressful. But think about how it can change your future. Your change can change your future. And so I don't know what you might be enduring right now, and maybe God is trying to change your life even tonight. And maybe you may feel a little stubborn about it. You might feel a little bothered about it, like, God, why are you doing this? There is a reason. God wants to change you, and not just change you, but change your life, change your future. And so sometimes he recognizes and he knows the road that we're heading down, because we don't always see clearly, you know, spiritually. And we know that God has some special plans for us, and it may cause us to change our ways, change our circle, change our patterns, change our habits, change our routine. So my question for you tonight, are you willing to change for God? Are you willing to change for God? Knowing that it can change your future, and not even just now, your future on this world or in this world, on this earth, but what about the future of eternal life? Are you willing to change so that you might gain eternal life? You may not know what the future holds. All we can do is have faith in God and trust him. And whenever he begins doing the work in our lives, things will begin to change. You may not see it right then, but you will begin to see the change. So tonight I invite you to trust God. Trust the plans that he has for you and your life on this earth and in the future to come. Because he let us know in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's our future. That's our future, for us not to perish, but have everlasting life. But what about now? What are you doing now? Allow God to really come into your life so that you can trust him. I want you to trust God tonight wholeheartedly. Trust him, Lord, with all our ways, and lean on to my own understanding. In order for us to accept, adapt, and adjust to change, we have to trust God. So tonight I ask that you just invite God into your life so that you can trust him. Trust God tonight. Trust God tonight. You'll gain so much. You'll gain so much. You might lose some old habits. You might lose some old friends, some old patterns, some old routines. But think about what you will gain. Your future. The life that God wants you to have. So if you're ready to invite God into your life and to really trust him, I ask that you pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just being who you are. We thank you for this opportunity just to call on your holy name. God, we thank you for what has already gone forth. And God, I pray that it has pricked someone's heart. So God, we open up our heart and invite you in so that we can fully trust you. God, we know that our ways are not your ways, neither are our thoughts your thoughts, and your plans are so much better. Help us to realize that your plans are so much better than ours. And God, we invite you in to even disrupt what we have going on, especially if not according to your will.
God, we ask for your forgiveness, that you will remove everything that's not of you and to replace it with your Holy Spirit so that we may be filled with your love, your joy, your peace, your strength, your goodness, and your kindness. Lord, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we might be saved. And God, I pray for those who are seeking more of you, seeking you to come into their life, seeking you so that they are able to fully trust you. God, help us all to trust you always, despite what's going on. Help us to accept what you allow, to adjust and to adapt to whatever changes take place in us, through us, and around us, because we know that we make no mistakes. Father, we thank you for all that you've done, for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. And Father, we pray for each and every one of your people. God, we thank you for Purpose Kingdom Network and everyone who's connected to it, everyone who's a part of it, every minister, every leader, every speaker. God, I pray that you continue to bless them and their family. God, we ask you to look on Pastor Toy and her family. God, we ask that you continue to cover them all. God, I ask that you bless those that are in office and in authority, those who are making decisions for our country, our nation, and for on the state level and every area that we may live in. God, we pray for those who are being affected by the war with Russia and Ukraine. God, I pray that you continue to cover those who are continuously being hurt. God, we know that you are in control of all things, but God, we ask that you continue to keep us covered under your blood. Oh, God, protect us from day to day. God, we thank you for all that you've done, what you're going to do, the changes that will take place in our life. God, we trust you. We trust in your word. We trust in your changes and the decisions. And God, we thank you, we love you, and we'll forever give your name all the praise and the glory and the honor that's due unto your name. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Rob, and he's going to give us our announcements for Purpose Kingdom Network.
Okay, thank you so much, Minister Jackson, for giving us tonight's message. I really appreciate that, and I really enjoyed tonight's show. So real quickly, this is a part of the Purpose Kingdom Network, and no matter where in the world you're listening to us, we greatly appreciate your listenership and your support for us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. No matter if you're listening to us online or you're listening to us via phone, we greatly appreciate your support. We're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Anytime we do a live broadcast, you can call into the show at the phone number 319-527-6091. You can simply hit the number 1 if you want to talk to our host. We're also on Facebook Live. Facebook. And you can go to us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom, where you can subscribe and like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. And we greatly appreciate those that also share with their friends and family members. And we do have a radio network at pkn.com, where you can hear 24 hours of musical content, and also from time to time we rebroadcast some of our shows, as we do on radioco.com. Anytime you want to send us an email, or you just want to just correspond with us, you can go to purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request, or just give us a praise report. We greatly appreciate that. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Dwelling Place. And that show is going to be hosted by Minister Dominic Hudson. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us for the Dwelling Place at the 9 p.m. hour. That's going to be hosted by Minister Dominic Hudson. We hope you enjoy tonight's program as well as others. We broadcast almost every night that we are able to. And we just hope you continue to share with your friends and family members. And with that being said, I'm going to turn our program back over to Minister Arthurian Jackson.
All right. Thank you for those announcements, Brother Rao. Just want to close out to continue to encourage you about change. So I hope that you're able to take away the, you know, just a simple fact that we don't have to fear change. We don't have to fear change because change, it comes to teach us, to help us learn, to help us grow, and to help change our future, to help change our future. So my main objective was for you to change your perspective on the word change or the whole idea of why we have to go through changes, why the changes of life are so important and are so much needed, because we cannot remain in the same state always, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically. Like we have to go through changes. It's important. It's needed. And so just a couple of resources to share with you. I shared them at the beginning, but I want to share it with you again as far as it being Sexual Assault Awareness Month and for the organization of One Touch Transformation, what we stand for, where our mission is to educate the community about sexual abuse while encouraging and empowering all victims and survivors. And so I want to share those resources again that I shared earlier. And so the first one was the website RAINN.org, RAINN.org, which is for Rape, Abuse, Incest National Network. Now, RAINN is one of the largest sexual abuse educational, you know, advocacy. Like, it's really huge. They have so much to offer on their website. So if at any time you're looking for information, you're looking for statistics, you're looking for how to help, any questions that you may have, you can go to this website to get almost everything answered. And like I said, one of the greatest things about that website is just having the access to the sexual assault hotline and the chat line. And so the number for the actual sexual assault hotline is 1-800-656-4673, 1-800-656-4673. And again, if you go on that website, you have access to either call the number or you can chat with someone online in that chat, and the number is available 24/7. So feel free to tweet it, post it, share it however you can on your timeline, on social media. It would be helpful in ways that you may not understand or that you may not know, because again, you may not know who is on your timeline that is suffering from the pain of past trauma, and they need to know how they can seek help. And that's the first thing you have to do as a victim or a survivor. You have to seek help. You have to, you know, say something, speak up. And I'm not saying that you have to tell everybody in the world, because you don't. You don't have to share your story on a large platform, but it is okay to share it with someone and, you know, and seek help. It does not mean that you're weak. It does not mean that you're not valued, you're not worthy. None of that. It is okay to seek help. It is okay to ask for help. It is okay to seek counseling and therapy. There's nothing wrong with it. So if you need help and if you're ready to speak up, I strongly, strongly encourage you to start, and you can start there. Also, there's a website for male survivors, because we don't hear too much about sexual assault in the male community or with the male population. And so a great website for that is 1in6.org. So that's the number 1, I-N, and the number 6.org, 1in6.org. So again, you'll find some great information, statistics for males who are sexually assaulted. So the information is out there, the resources are out there. So it's all about, again, making people aware of the simple fact that it does happen, it still happens, and that there is help available. So we all have a part that we can play. We all have a role that we can play, whether it's sharing information, showing up, being a helping hand, a lending ear. You know, we all can play a part. So I encourage all of our listeners to do your part, you know, do your part. And again,
don't fear change, because change
can change your future.
Well, I hope that you will have a wonderful evening and a wonderful rest of the week. And if you can, be sure to tune in tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Purpose Kingdom Network. I've been your host, Arthenius Jackson at One Touch Transformation, and I hope you have a wonderful night.
Jesus lives.
He raised me,
I will not lose.
He saved me, I will not lose.
Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.